ESPN Daily is presented by Supercuts, the smarter, easier way to get a haircut. It's not just any haircut. It's Supercuts. Tim McMahon, I need your help here because I'm on this quest, it turns out, to find out on behalf of a very confused national media, how it is that the Memphis Grizzlies are suddenly one of the hottest teams in the NBA right now. Like, they have the third best record in the entire league, and I just need you to start by telling us about one particular game from January against the Los Angeles Lakers. What happened?
Another Ivy League guy needs my guidance, needs my wisdom. This is my life.
Yes.
This is January 9th, building formerly known as the Staples Center. The Grizzlies, this is a bunch of young guys who like a stage.
Tim McMahon covers the NBA for ESPN.
The lighting, the scene, LeBron, I mean, you know, it feels like a big game. And you'll remember this game as the one where Ja Morant took off on a trampoline and snatched Avery Bradley's layup attempt out of the air.
Also, here's a stolen basketball by Bradley. Oh, Ja Morant, what a play!
The most athletic guard in the league by far is Ja Morant.
He's 6'3", chased him down on a fast break, jumped about the dotted line, soared through the air, caught the ball with two hands at the top of the square, and came down with it.
Just look where he is when he catches it at the top of the square, the box on the backboard. Look at his hands.
It was the best highlight of the night, but not by far, because early in that second half, that's when Ja, he's running away on a fast break. Desmond Bane's pushing it. As Desmond Bane crosses half court, Ja's on the wing. He just puts his left hand up in the air, the symbol for, hey, give me the lob.
Here's a lob from Morant. What a delivery and what a finish by Morant.
Boy, oh boy, he is a treat to watch.
When he caught the thing, he is eye level with the rim. He had to duck his head. He had to duck his head. So LeBron was in a mood that day. Things weren't going well for the Lakers. That dunk put him up like, I want to say, put the Grizzlies up like 17, I believe it was, early in the third quarter. And this is a trip. LeBron turns it over. Zaire Williams comes up with the steal. He gets it out to Ja, and then Avery Bradley hacked him.
Tries to get around Monk. Morant in traffic. Can't score, but he's going to get free throws.
Zaire Williams and Jaren Jackson Jr., they're hugging Morant on the baseline after the foul. They're giggling. They're laughing. I mean, the Grizzlies are...
They're celebrating mid-game.
Dude, they're up 20 now. They're having a grand old time.
And that young Grizzlies team, they're just a bunch of real high-energy guys as Ja Morant smothered by his teammates.
Desmond Bane, he's high-fiving. He's hoorahing. LeBron stepped to Bane right in the middle of the paint, and he said a whole bunch of words that Spectrum did not want on TV.
You know, the second pick, some were saying, oh, well, that's the consolation after Zion, but I'll tell you what.
Revisit that draft.
This is the last mother blah, 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 blah time. You know, you're going to be disrespecting me. He just kept going on and on and on. The Grizzlies ain't backing down from anybody. And that moment, as they're blowing out the Lakers on LeBron's home floor, getting him mad like the grumpy uncle who's finally getting his butt kicked at the barbecue pickup games, they're like, hey, we love it and get used to it.
It is time to get used to the Memphis Grizzlies, a team that has sprung out from the shadows of the national basketball conversation and is now pointing the spotlight squarely at themselves as the most unapologetic young contender in the NBA. So today, we examine how the days of grit and grind have given way to the most electrifying 22-year-old in this sport. And whether a bandwagon without any discernible breaks still has any room left for us. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Wednesday, February 2nd. This is ESPN Daily.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So, Tim, I got to be honest with you. I did not think we would be doing an entire episode dedicated to the Grizzlies by February of this season, or any season, to be perfectly frank. So thank you for joining us and educating us here.
John Morant would ask, what the hell took us so long, by the way?
Tim, it's a fair point. In fact, I was watching the Grizzlies play the 76ers on Monday night, Tim, and Ja Morant was just electric, right? He's throwing behind-the-back passes.
Morant. Oh, wow. Williams with the dunk, and what a pass by Ja Morant.
He's throwing down alley-oops with his left hand.
DeAnthony palms for Morant.
And I know the Sixers won in overtime, but my takeaway was just how clear it is that the Grizzlies have a very different identity now. So how would you describe who they are and what they've constructed this season?
Well, I asked Ja this question, and he told me drippy. And so I thought I knew what it meant, but I did check.
Because you're a journalist, yes.
That's right. And a 45-year-old dude who wants to make sure I'm not screwing these things up. The rough translation is, this is a team that's got a ton of swagger. They are young, they are fun, they are fast. They're absolutely electrifying, and they back down from nobody. We've talked about the thing with LeBron. You know, that's, hey, this is a not just a first ballot Hall of Famer, a dude who's in the conversation for the greatest of all time.
Of course.
There's no back down there. They're not in awe of LeBron. They're thinking of, great, this is another team that we get to beat. Earlier this month with the Bulls, Tony Bradley, the Bulls' backup center, he's kind of trying to get in Ja's face.
Bradley fouls Morant. They get tied up. And now getting into it on the floor.
Well, Steven Adams, born to be a Grizzly. Grizzly Adams.
By legend, Tim, the strongest man in the NBA.
Yes. And so he just picks Tony Bradley up and says, no, you're not going to talk to our face of the franchise like that. You're going to move right on over here where I take you.
Steven Adams literally lifting up Tony Bradley, who is not a small guy. He literally just lifted him up and carried him away from Ja Morant. Tony
Bradley. They're fun. They're flashy. They're, you know, tough. They talk a bunch of trash. They are having a great time playing great basketball. I mean, you know, you watch Ja Morant, and there's two things watching his pregame warm-up. I think it says a lot about him and him kind of being the leader of this team. The first thing is, at the end of his pregame warm-up routine, you know, this is the one like an hour and a half or whatever before tip. I don't know the exact rules, but him and the assistants who put him through the workout, they play some version of dodgeball.
Wait, I've not seen this. They are literally throwing basketballs at each other?
Yes, they're running around, firing basketballs across the court. And then the other thing that kind of struck me about the pregame warm-up routine is before he goes back to the locker room, Ja makes sure to go dap up every single ball boy, every single person who's helping rebound or whatever. Some of these are, you know, young kids who obviously, you know, they're not high profile people, but they're part of his team, and he makes sure that they know that they're appreciated. I think that's just kind of the type of leadership he has, the type of atmosphere that they have there. And then, you know, look, they're a goofy bunch. Jaren Jackson Jr., makes fashion decisions on the road based on what city they're in. So, for example, I went down to San Antonio with him, and he's wearing what he called his fiesta pants.
Wait, what are fiesta pants looking like, Tim?
Well, they're these black designer jeans. They've got all kinds of little funky things, but they've got frills down both sides.
Mm.
So, like, just think, like, fancy black designer skinny jeans with frills. You know, the frills are the fiesta.
We fiesta.
It's just kind of part of the personality of this team. You know, they're built around two 22-year-olds in Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. And, you know, Bane's 23. But it really is just like a summer tour, having a great time hooping type of vibe with these guys.
The thing about being super young, Tim, in the NBA is that you imagine that inexperience would manifest, mm-hmm. right? That, like, this would be a team that also has those tendencies of guys who have not done this before. But they don't actually seem to be playing that way.
No, absolutely not. You know, statistically, they are the second best clutch team in the NBA behind only the Phoenix Suns. And, you know, one thing I left out of their identity that's important, they're absolutely fearless. They're fearless in terms of competition. They're fearless in terms of the way they're attacking you, obviously, especially Ja at 174 pounds, soaking wet, flying through the air, attacking the rim. And they're fearless of pressure situations. Not only they embrace them, they love them. Jackson said that they have probably the most clutch performer in the game at their point guard position. He's talking about Ja Morant. Ja, he does lead the league in points, 25 points in one possession games in the final minute. That does include a last second game winner in Phoenix. By the way, if you're going to talk about the most clutch performer in the game, not that they mind getting under the feathers of old folks, but I'm still going to go with Chris Paul.
Yeah, it's a fair argument.
You know, the Suns are number one in all the clutch categories. You know, the Grizzlies are behind them. But the last time they played in Phoenix, Ja Morant banks in, you know, game-winning bucket in the last second.
Morant, 3 seconds. He drives, banks, oh! It in! With 0.5 seconds, timeout, woo-hoo! Phoenix!
Yes, sir! Get the man the basketball and give him a driving lane. He will make something happen.
Sure, the Suns are the best clutch team in the league, but guess who one of their few losses in those situations have been to? Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies.
I do want to understand how it is that Ja Morant got to this level. Like, this sort of player is not the type who emerges out of high school, as Ja Morant did in South Carolina, with zero stars as a prospect. He was unrated by, like, every scouting service, including ESPNs and Rivals and Scouts and all of that. And he ends up going to Murray State, a mid-major in Kentucky. And there, he absolutely blows up, of course. He gets drafted number 2 overall in the draft in 2019 behind Zion Williamson. That pick now, Tim, is just an absolute steal for Memphis, obviously. But here in year 3 for Ja in the NBA, what's different about him? How has he evolved?
He's such a phenomenal athlete. I think his skill is overlooked. When people talk about skill, the first thing I think they think about is shooting. He's become about an average 3-point shooter, which means you can't just go under screens on him and dare him to beat you that way, okay? He's efficient enough with the 3 to where that's no longer a strategy. But he is Kyrie-esque in his ability to finish under the rim, you know, with the layup package. You know, his ability to finish with both hands, you know, his ability to contort his body, to, you know, put spin on the ball, to create angles and tiny little spaces amongst the trees and find ways to finish efficiently. He's the best paint scorer in the NBA.
Mm.
Better than Giannis, better than, you know, Joel Embiid, you know, whatever big physical freak you want to mention. Ja Morant leads the NBA in paint points this year. He's had 13 games this year. Here's a gem from ESPN Stats and Info. 13 games already where he scored 20-plus points just in the paint.
Wow.
That's the most by any guard over the last 25 years. That's more than Russell Westbrook a couple years ago. It's more than 05-06 Dwayne Wade when he was just, you know, in his basket attacking youth prime. He is Allen Iverson-esque as a scorer, but he is a pure point guard. He has a point guard's mind. Draymond Green was on J.J. Redick's podcast and was asked, You know, who are the smartest players you've ever played against? And he mentioned LeBron. He mentioned Chris Paul. He mentioned Rajon Rondo, which I think those are the first three guys you're probably going to think of.
Yeah.
And he said the guy who's coming up.
And who's creeping up into that category is John Morant. Everybody is excited about how Ja Morant flies around. Everyone's excited about the passes he may throw. All of those things are very exciting. Don't get me wrong, they excite me too. But the thing that excites me most about Ja Morant is when we're playing against the Memphis Grizzlies, I can feel the chess match. Like, every possession down, they're looking at me, scoping me out to see where I'm at. I'm looking at their guys and what they're doing to try to see what they're trying to get into. Every time down the floor, it's like a chess match. It's like that with Ja.
Mm.
So we're talking about that kind of athlete, that kind of like natural charisma, that kind of fearlessness, that kind of competitor, that kind of skill, and that kind of smarts.
And we're also talking, Tim, about the kind of team that can even infuriate Steph Curry. And I want to ask you about that after the break.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
When I watch Ja Morant, I also see him making art, mm-hmm. honestly. I mean, the plays that you've described already should be in a gallery somewhere, but there was yet another one from this past weekend against the Wizards that I think epitomizes both the Grizzlies and Ja, because, again, as is their wont, the Grizzlies are up 20 points in the third quarter in this one. Spencer Dinwiddie, the Wizards guard, is going for this fast break dunk, and then what happens?
Desmond Bane sees Dinwiddie going up. He's, I'm chasing him down.
Dinwiddie on a spin away. Oh, Desmond Bane! That's insane, Bane!
He gets the block. Next thing you know, they're out in transition. 6 foot 11, 242 pound Jaren Jackson Jr. ends up running the break. So what's he do? Oh, he sees Ja flying down the left side. He lobs it up to him. Ja catches it, decides, let me just throw down a windmill real quick. An in-game, off an alley-oop windmill. And I keep going back to his size. From a 6'3" dude.
Now look at his partner. He windmills this. Look at the windmill.
Now, it did not count, unfortunately, because a foul was called on Jaren Jackson Jr., but, I mean, it was still awesome.
And what's crazy is it is spectacular, and it's not surprising. Honestly, to me, I still would go with Steph Curry when he's in a groove as the number one man. You got to watch this guy.
Box office you're talking about. Entertainment value.
Just pure entertainment value, yes. I tell you, Ja Morant is coming fast, and right now with Steph in a slump, Ja Morant's the guy who's the, you know, if you've got league pass,
yep,
you're dialing up Grizzlies games on a regular basis right now.
Tim, I agree. And it's not just even like the games that are fun. It's the post-game press conferences. Because this is what Ja Morant said about that specific play afterwards.
It wasn't difficult for me at all. Pretty light, honestly. I think that's a normal dunk for me. Honestly, not what I wanted to do, but...
Do you want to share what you wanted to do?
Between the legs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he wanted to go between the legs actually mid-game and not windmill dunk it because, of course, that's not good enough for him. And it seems like this is not just ego talking. He actually can do all of this.
Yeah, and what's crazy is he didn't go up intending to windmill. That was his mid-air adjustment.
He pivoted. He downshifted to the windmill.
Yeah, they're like, ah, man, let me go with a runner up here.
What's not lacking in Ja Morant is confidence. Like, he's going at his critics, Tim, at these pressers, on social media. How would you describe his attitude towards his public persona in that way?
Yeah, he's got a chip. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, I think that sets the tone for the franchise, but the franchise as a whole has a chip. You know, Ja feels like he's been disrespected his whole life. You know, he was, like you said, a zero-star recruit. Nobody thought he was going to amount to anything. And then he does not mind self-promoting, and he certainly is very happy to promote his teammates. Right now, he was successful in his campaign to become an all-star starter, which he was very active about on Twitter. He is campaigning for Desmond Bane to be most improved player. He's got Jaren Jackson as defense player of the year. You know, I'm sure he's going to come up with some other things. But then he's going to go after... Not just he'll fire back just like random mentions on Twitter. Like if you pop off in Ja Morant's mentions, you might get dunked on right there for, you know, his however many million Twitter followers to see. Pablo, he went after our bosses.
I was gonna say, Tim, he went after our boss's boss's boss.
Yeah, he went after the ESPN head honchos. So he goes for 41. In San Antonio, puts on a show.
Best third quarter score in the league, and a lot for Brandon Clark. What an insane setup by Morant.
This was supposed to be one of the Grizzlies' 7 games that were scheduled to be on national TV. I assume because maybe the Spurs don't have a whole lot of sizzle right now, they decided 5 days before, let's put Knicks heat on instead. Ja made emoji note of that on Twitter when it happened. After the game, unprompted, said,
"Shout out to whoever took us off TV. Appreciate you for that. That game right there is for you too."
And then made mention of it again on Twitter after that. And again, this gets back to Ja thinks he's really damn good. He thinks the Grizzlies are really damn good. He thinks they put on a great show. He's right about all that, and he wants the recognition.
Yeah, I mean, look, San Antonio, Memphis, not massive markets. But again, as a matter of aesthetics, as a matter of art, as a matter of entertainment, Ja Morant was right. We absolutely should have watched the Grizzlies play and do all of that instead of whatever the hell it is that the Knicks are doing on a basketball court these days. And it's worth noting that it's not just ESPN executives that Ja is dunking on. He's also very willing to take on children. Tim, so tell us about what happened when the Grizzlies beat the Warriors just a couple weeks ago.
They beat Steph Curry's Warriors. That one was at home, although there was a lot of Warriors jerseys in the stands. And when Ja made the and-one drive for basically the dagger at the end of the game.
Clark, Morant drives, jumps and scores!
There's a little boy who was sitting behind the basket. And he wanted a high five from Ja, but this kid was wearing a Warriors jersey. He did not get a high five. He got a glare and a few words of advice, and those words of advice were, do not wear an opposing jersey in my house, basically. And it was funny. After that Warriors game, somebody asked, I think it was Jeff Calkins, who's a longtime columnist in Memphis, asked Ja about the interaction with the little boy.
After the last bucket, you got drew the foul, and you go into the stands, and there's a little kid wearing a Warriors.
Disrespectful with that jersey on.
He what? Say that again.
He was disrespectful
with the jersey on. You no mercy for the little kid.
Nah, we in Memphis. It looked like he wanted to cheer, but he had that jersey on. I apologize to him, but in that moment, bro, take the jersey off and then dap me up.
And then he says, you know what, though? Somebody get me that kid's info. I'll send him a Grizzlies jersey. And then the promotions department for the Grizzlies pounced on that idea. So the next day they put it out there. Hey, any kid 12 or under, if you bring an opposing NBA jersey, you will get a free either Ja or Jaren Jackson Jr. jersey and two tickets to the next home game.
So the question then is one that Steph Curry posed actually after that Warriors game, Tim, because after that one, he takes the step further beyond like, oh, here's a cutesy civic sort of basketball story into the playoff conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a natural evolution of a team trying to take that next step. Big part is you talk about it right now. You got to, you know, show it in the playoffs, and we want to be there to try to do that. I know they want to, too. So nobody's trying to win the verbal conversation right now of who we are, you know, in January.
Tim, what do you make of what Steph said about the Grizzlies in that moment?
They got under his skin, and he was tired of answering questions about how great the Grizzlies were. He wasn't quite as upset as LeBron was, clearly, but that is Steph Curry, and he was complimentary about him.
Sure.
But that is Steph Curry's very diplomatic way of basically saying, you know what, they're having a great season, they ain't done nothing yet.
And so if you are a doubter like Steph, Tim, what is the case against the Grizzlies as we stand here today on February 2nd?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, you know, the first case you make is, hey, they got in the playoffs last year, and then they were bounced in five games. I'll point out, Ja Morant averaged 30 points per game and eight assists per game in that series. He had a 47-point playoff performance on the road. They will not be scared of the moment. But look, it's a tough Western Conference. I don't know who they'll end up facing in the first round, but maybe it's Utah again. Maybe it's Dallas with Luka Doncic. You know, maybe it's Denver with Nikola Jokic. Like, it's going to be it. There's not any, you know, gimme series in the Western Conference. So you can doubt them, and that's fine. They're not going to doubt themselves. I can guarantee you that.
And so let's take the opposite end then, Tim. Like, if you're campaigning on behalf of the Grizzlies, what are you telling people about what makes this team actually one that we might be seeing in, like, June?
If I'm, like, the Grizzlies promotional department and I'm trying to get people hyped up about this team other than just pressing play on the highlight reel, it's not even to me about right now and about this year. It's about the next decade.
Mm.
Ja's 22. Jaren Jackson Jr.'s 22. Bane's 23. If this is a group that stays together, they are going to be heard from, literally and figuratively, for a long time to come.
Tim McMahon, thank you for bringing your drip to ESPN Daily.
That's what I'm known for. I appreciate you having me.
Pablo Torre, this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.